Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Cyrela Brazil Realty conference call, in which we'll discuss Q3 2019 earnings results. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. We'll then have a Q&A session. Further instructions will be given then. Should you require assistance, please press star zero. This conference is being recorded, and it will be available at www.cyrela.com.br/ri. This call is being simultaneously interpreted into English and is being broadcast over the internet. Questions can be asked by participants abroad. The earnings release, published yesterday, November 7th, after the close of B3 trading session, is also available at the company's website. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that any forward-looking statements that may be made during this conference relating to the company's business prospects as forecasts and operating targets related to its financial growth potential are predictions based on management's expectations about the future of the company. These expectations are highly dependent upon domestic market conditions, the general economic performance of the country, and international markets, and are therefore subject to change. We have Mr. Raphael Horn, Co-CEO, and Mr. Miguel Mickelberg, CFO, with us. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Horn. You have the floor now, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Cyrela had a strong operating performance once again in Q3. In addition to a significant pre-sales value of launches, those projects launched during the quarter achieved a strong sales speed of 44%. Sales of finished goods or finished units were healthy as well. The approval of the welfare reform in October was one of the greatest political and economic achievements in recent years, was largely responsible for driving the Brazilian stock market and share prices. Coupled with inflation and connectivity data below expectations globally and domestically, interest rates hit an all-time low, which led a fall in future interest rates in Brazil. In this context, the real estate industry welcomed the news that Brazil's main banks were lowering their mortgage rates for individuals. We remain confident in Brazil's potential to attain sustainable growth in coming years. Q3 is the 12th consecutive quarter in which we generate positive cash at 78 million. Net debt remains low, and cash position remains high, and we are comfortable. That allows us to continue adjusting our capital structure, always focusing on maximizing shareholders' returns. We're confident that our team is fully prepared for this new cycle that has just begun. I'll turn over to Raphael, or to Miguel, rather.
Thank you, Rafa. Good morning. On slide five, let me talk about Cyrela's launches. In Q3, we launched 22 new products with a PSV of 1.8 billion, 94% more year-on-year, excluding swaps, and the volume launched in Cyrela was 112% higher year-on-year. The company's share in the volume launched in the quarter was 70%, compared to 77% year-on-year. On slide six to nine, we highlight some of the major releases in the quarter. All of them were at least 50% sold in the quarter. On slide 10, let me talk about our sales performance. In Q3 2019, pre-sales were 1.6 billion, a 65% increase year-on-year. Excluding swaps, pre-sales amounted to 3.2 billion in Cyrela's share, a 90% increase year-on-year. The state of São Paulo accounted for 71% of our sales. On slide 11, let me talk about our sales speed. The company's annual SOS was 54.8%. Looking at sales speed by period, projects launched in the quarter have been 44% sold.
We'll address Cirela's total inventory. At the end of the quarter, we were at 5.4 billion reals, a 4.5% higher than quarter on quarter. The change in our inventory can be seen in the chart on the left. On slide 13, you can see a breakdown of our finished units. We sold 13% of the finished units in the quarter at the beginning of the period, adding our inventory. Projects give around the quarter in pricing units of market value. Finished units inventory decreased by 9% quarter on quarter. We are aware of how important this matter is to the company and will continue to focus our efforts on these products. On slide 14, we'll see our delivered units. In the quarter, Cirela delivered 14 projects totaling 4,600 units. Delivered units account for a PSV of 1.2 billion, 92% higher year on year. Year to date, 9,100 units were delivered, accounting for a PSV of 2.4 billion reals. On slide 16 now, I'll present our financial results. Net revenue was 935 million reals in the quarter, the same amount as Q2 2019 and 29% higher year on year. Year to date, net revenue amounted to 2.7 million, or billion rather, up 48%. Gross profit in the quarter was 389 million reals, down by 1.4% quarter-to-quarter and 41% higher year-on-year. Year-to-date, gross income was 831 million reals, 66% higher year-on-year. Our net profit totaled 104 million reals in the quarter with a net margin of 11.2% compared to a profit of 114 million reals in the previous quarter and losses of 121 million in Q3. Year-to-date, gross income reached 267 million reals. On to slide 17. This is our profitability. In Q3 2019, our ROE was 7.3%. 27 cents was the profit, or was the earnings per share. On slide 18, I'll talk about debt. Gross debt at the end of the quarter was 2.5 billion. With a cash position of 1.8, our net debt was 696 million reals. 17% of the total gross debt are related to loans for construction and 79% is long term. Our net debt over the equity ratio was 12.7, 4.4% higher quarter on quarter due to 300 million reals in dividends paid in the period. The low debt level confirms Cirela's financial solidity and puts us in a privileged position to adjust our capital structure and improve return to shareholders. Slide 19 shows the company's cash generation. In Q3 2019, our cash generation was 78 million reals compared to 196 million in Q2 and 303 million reals in Q3 2018. Year-to-date, cash generation amounted to 424 million reals compared to 867 million reals in 2018. We'll now begin the Q&A session. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you want to remove your question, please press star 2. Victor Tapia from Bradesco asks the first question. Good morning, folks. My first question is about cash generation. You had been posting stronger cash generation. It slowed down a little. Was it because of a land purchase, or is it Minha Casa Minha Vida, the social housing program? Can you give us some color on that?
And my other question is about the expected dividends payout for the year. Is there any impact? I have another question about the CCP shares. Are you considering selling it? Good morning, Victor. This is Miguel. Let me talk about cash generation. We had announced early in the year that our cash generation scenario was more challenging in the second semester. We have fewer deliveries at the higher end. We have to sell finished units to maintain the same level. Yes, there we are speeding up the payment of land, especially when compared to last year. And the starting construction of the launches of last year. So that was on our radar. Cash generation would be challenged. There is the effect of Minha Casa, Minha Vida, Plano y Plano, was about 50 million reals. It generated less, 50 million less. Looking forward, as Minha Casa, Minha Vida gets back on track and a few non-recurring facts, we'll believe that cash generation will be stronger along the same lines of what we expected earlier in the year, between 500 and 600 million reals. So we're not changing our dividend strategy. It's way below that of strategic planning, and we are planning to make a decision on the dividends payout in early December. Hi, Victor. About CCP, CCP shares, that's not a strategic position on our part. We are at a very early cycle. Rentals or corporate leases go up. We believe they'll go up. Prices will be better then. We may consider selling, but not at this time. I understand. Thank you. Alexis Ferraz, Itaú BBA, asks the next question. Good morning, Rafa and Miguel. I have two questions. One is more specific about CPPNB. Could you elaborate on these projects? Did you sell part of it, or did you completely sell it? What was the rationale behind that sale? And my second question, when you look at the first 9 months of the year, you are at 3.4 billion, will surpass 4 billion. Taking into account the 4-4-4 plan, are you going to exceed that mark? Taking into account that the fourth quarter is stronger, but provided that the São Paulo market keeps being strong. Hi, Alex. This is Miguel. As to the SPS sales, we started that partnership with CPP to develop projects. We are probably selling four projects. We just booked one of these two. They have an 80% stake. We're going to build it and maybe conduct the operation once it's ready. That partnership can reach up to 10 projects, but this is something new to us as well. About the 444 now. Yes, 2019, 2020. We're going to exceed the 4 billion mark. And that was not on purpose. Our strategy has always been to reduce equity, reduce capital. We have been focusing on it. But we're keeping the dividend level. We'll keep paying out dividends. The objective was the 444 was to reduce our capital footprint. We'll keep on doing it. We're not going to reduce dividends to fight it, regardless whether the cycle is getting better or not. We're keeping the 444 pillars. We end up purchasing better land than we expected, and we can exceed. Therefore, that's what's happening in 2019 and 2020. There's no point in consider what we'll be doing in 2021, 2022. This is an exercise that will take us nowhere. We are not giving any guidance as to volume of launches. We believe we can reach or exceed 4 billion with no pressure. We don't want to purchase land to please analysts. We want to purchase land when it makes sense. Luckily, we managed to exceed 4, but 4 was all right. So we're happy we're reducing our capital base. But that was not on purpose. There was no pressure to purchase land. We purchased land maximizing profits, and we're not giving any guidance. We'll keep on purchasing land because we are happy with the purchase, not to please analysts or whoever that may be. We'll stick to 444. In 2019, 2020, we'll launch more than 4, maybe 2021. If you reduce dividends, no, we're not doing it. I think I answered your question, didn't I? Perfect, Rafa and Miguel. Thank you. Thank you very much. Luis Istacchini from Credit Suisse asks the next question. Good morning. I have 2 questions. Based on revenues in the quarter and the number of launches, we should expect more revenue. Maybe you're reconciling backlog because the projected was higher than what you booked. What was the sales volume that was? And my second question, can you give us an update of your cash? Maybe the portfolio size? What's the goal for 2020? What can we expect from this business next year? Hi, this is Miguel Stacchini. As to the revenue, because of stronger billing, we had 3.3 billion worth of sales in conciliation. Revenues amount to 2.7. We're selling more than we are actually getting revenue. Usually it's a quarter. You do not book that revenue up until you start construction. It's about 15 million reals. This is already revenue based on the sales price. But we are selling more than booking the revenue. So I'll turn over to Andre. Our portfolio is 400 million reals. And I think we have some good expertise. Because of our real estate knowledge, we're doing it little by little. We're not in a hurry. We're not giving any guidance and not even making any promises. Everything is according to plan. So far, so good. I understand. Thank you. Have a good day. Let me remind you that you should press star 1. To ask a question. Igor Altero from at Santander asked the following question. Can you give us some more detail on the sales of finished units? It seems that you're doing a good job there. Can we expect that same trend in the future, and what is the margin for that inventory? Thank you.
Good morning, Igor. This is Miguel.
Yes, we're on track on our finished units sales, 1 billion. Q3 sales were good. The margin varies dramatically. One fit has over 50% margin, but several other products with lower margins. Finished units contributes negatively to gross margin. We have reduced that volume of finished units. It will continue to be substantial in the revenue. The projects we are launching now have better margins.
All right, thank you.
So, at JP Morgan, asks the next question. Two questions. Can you talk about the outlook of Gevisa for low-income projects? It's a more challenging scenario, and the outlook about subsidies next year. If you look at your launch mix for the following years, is this business going to grow? Will it remain flat? Can you talk about margin? Part of that answer is in the sale of finished units. And what about the launches? What if that margin grows more than what you've got in this quarter?
Good morning, Mota. This is Miguel. As to the Minha Casa Minha Vida, there was an impact, but the launches were substantial in the quarter. We are at 30% for the year. We know that there are many uncertainties around the program, but we'll keep on launching new projects. Vivas can help boost that volume as well. We remain confident. We believe in that segment. As to the gross margin, on the midterm basis, this is going to increase. What we launched in 2019 has about 34% gross margin. In time, these new projects will account for more in the revenue, but there may be major upswings from quarter to quarter. Thank you, Miguel. Joel Gigliotti at Morgan Stanley asks the next question.
I have two questions.
Can you elaborate on the profile of customers that are purchasing high-end projects? Is this someone that did not purchase during the recession, or is it because there are more investors? And what is the focus now? Is it because people are confident about the economy? My second question about the partnership with CPPIP. I would like to understand the profitability of that partnership. Is this a business that can grow abroad as well due to decreasing interest rates?
Hi, good morning.
Yes. We're selling most of our projects to end users. We like to do it. Why are they buying? I think there are several reasons. The demand in Brazil is high for real estate. Brazilians like and they need a first house or apartment. And for a couple of years, they couldn't do it because of the slowdown. Things are getting back on track now. And people came out of their caves. They're purchasing
at a reasonable price, not because it's cheap, but they couldn't buy for 4 years. We're not becoming a Venezuela. We're not going to go belly up. So this is the right time to get him back on track. Interest rates are down. Real estate prices are down. It's affordability is very nice. 4 years down the road, without that natural demand. So this is what we are seeing now. It's appropriate for end users, and of course investors are back in the game. There are many investors. Constant. There's no point in leaving your money in the bank. Stock exchange, real estate. But that's the dynamics that will play out about the partnership of CPPIP. I'm not going to give you any more detail. We are running this experiment, but it seems to be an interesting business. It didn't make sense in Brazil. It's difficult to get better rates from other investments. Residential income will become yet another option in real estate. It made sense to us to test it now, and that's why we did it. All right, thank you. Victor Tapia at Bradesco asks the next question. Let me follow up one issue. Land purchase and breakdown of the 444. How would you break that down between low income and medium income, taking into account the volume of purchased land in the following years? And I would like to also understand whether you're comfortable in trying to grow in low income, given this ever-complicated scenario for the Minha Casa Minha Vida program. We have several alternatives. We're not going to break that down. What is how high income, low income, São Paulo, Rio. We have to feel comfortable depending on the segment. Some 3-4 years, we didn't have Vivaz. Now we do have Vivaz. We can be nimble. For next year, we have way more than the four. And for 2021, depending on the price and opportunities, we can purchase land. We do not set that in advance. We want to be in 2021 with a profitable pipeline. It doesn't make any difference what is high income, low income. If one segment is suffering, we can shift to the other one. We want to be and remain competitive, trying to use our installed capacity, our team that is very flexible. I wouldn't make any precise calculations in that sense. What it will play out in 2021 between low income and high income, I'd be lying. We discuss this business on a daily basis, and we pick and choose the right options. And about the outlook of the program, that will depend on the market. The 444, the 5 billion in worth in launches, will keep on growing. Customers want to be profitable and give our ROI at good standards. If it is present, if Minha Casa Minha Vida remains with or without subsidies, the segment is still interesting with or without the subsidies. We'll be working with our JVs and Vivas in this segment. That's right. Thank you. If you have a question, please press star 1.
There are no further questions. I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Horn for his final remarks.
Thank you for attending the call. We have many things out there in the market for Q4. This is going to be a very exciting fourth quarter. Godspeed. We didn't launch many things in Q3, but there'll be new launches in Q4. And we will help improve profitability and get back to very interesting ROI levels. Thank you very much. This concludes Cirela's teleconference. Thank you for attending. Have a good day.